जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन गज जान रंजन यशोदनंदन गज जान रंजन जमुना तीरवन चारी जमुना तीर All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from Canto 1, Chapter 13, verses number 3 and 4. Okay. Tam bandhum agatam drishtva. Dharma putra sahanuja Dhritarashtra Yuyutsuscha Suta Sharadvata Pritha Gandhari Draupadi Brahman Subhadra Chottara Kripi Anyascha Jamaya Pandor Jataya Sasuta Striha. Please chant.
Sambandhu Mangatam Dishta.
Sambandhu Mangatam Dishta.
Sambandhu
Mangatam Dishta.
Sambandhu
towards Tam, him, we can do it together. Tam, him, Bandhu, relative, Agatam, having arrived there, Drishva, by seeing it, Dharma Putraha, Yudhishthira, Saha Anujaha, along with his younger brothers, Dhritarashtraha, Dhritarashtra, Yuyutsuhu, Satyaki, Cha, and Sutaha, Sanjaya, Sharadvataha, Kripacharya, Pritha, Kunti, Gandhari, Gandhari, Draupadi, Draupadi, Brahman, O Brahmana, Subhadra, Subhadra, Cha, and Uttara, Uttara, Kripi, Kripi, Anyaha, others, Cha, and Jamaya, wives of other family members, Pando, of the Pandava, Yatayaha, family members, Sasutaha, along with their sons, Sriyaha, the ladies. Translation. When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants Mahayudhishthir, his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjaya, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many other wives of the Kauravas, and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period. Report by Ajay Prabhupada. So, two biographies. I'll be reading half the purport, which is entails biography of two people that two queens that Srila Prabhupada writes on. So Gandhari, the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. She was the daughter of Maharaj Subala, the king of Gandhara, now Kandahar in Kabul. And in her maiden state, she worshipped Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is generally worshipped by Hindu maidens to get a good husband. Gandhari satisfied Lord Shiva and by his benediction to obtain 100 sons. She was betrothed to Dhritarashtra despite his being blind forever. When Gandhari came to know that her would-be husband was a blind man, to follow her life companion, she decided to become voluntarily blind. So she wrapped up her eyes with many silk linens and she was married to Dhritarashtra under the guidance of her elder brother Shakuni. She was the most beautiful girl of her time, and she was equally qualified by her womanly qualities, which endeared every member of the Kaurava court. But despite all her good qualities, she had the natural frailties of a woman, and she was envious of Kunti when the latter gave birth to a male child. Both the queens were pregnant, but Kunti first gave birth to a male child. Thus Gandhari became angry and gave a blow to her own abdomen. As a result, she gave birth to a lump of flesh only. But since she was a devotee of Vyasadeva, by the instruction of Vyasadeva, the lump was divided into 100 parts, and each part gradually developed to become a male child. Yeah, out of, what is that kind of pregnancy called nowadays? It happens all the time, in tube or whatever. Thus, her ambition to become the mother of 100 sons was fulfilled, and she began to nourish all the children according to her exalted position. When the intrigue of the battle of Kurukshetra was going on, she was not in favor of fighting with the Pandavas. Rather, she blamed Dhritarashtra, her husband, for such a fratricidal war. She decided that the state be divided into two parts for the sons of Pandu and her own. She was very affected when all her sons died in the battle of Kurukshetra, and she wanted to curse Bhimasena and Yudhishthira, but she was checked by Vyasadeva. Her mourning over the death of Duryodhan and Dushasan before Lord Krishna was very pitiful, and Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages. She was equally aggrieved on the death of Karna, and she described to Lord Krishna the lamentation of Karna's wife. She was pacified by Srila Vyasadeva when he showed her dead sons, then promoted to the heavenly kingdom. She died along with her husband in the jungles of the Himalayas near the mouth of the Ganges. She burned in a forest fire. Maharajudhishthira performed the death ceremony of his uncle and aunt. So this is for Gandhari. Now we'll hear about Pritha. Pritha, daughter of Maharaj Shurasen and sister of Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. Later, she was adopted by Maharaj Kunti Bhoj, and hence she is known as Kunti. She is the incarnation of the success potency of the personality of Godhead. Thank you. The heavenly denizens from the upper planets used to visit the palace of King Kunti Bhoj, and Kunti was engaged for their reception. She also served the great mystic sage Durvasa, and being satisfied by her faithful service, Durvasa Muni gave her a mantra by which it was possible for her to call for any demigod she pleased. As a matter of inquisitiveness, she at once called for the sun god, who desired couplement with her, but she declined. But the sun god assured her immunity from virgin adulteration, and so she agreed to his proposal. As a result of this couplement, she became pregnant, and Karna was born by her. By the grace of the sun, she again turned into a virgin girl. But being afraid of her parents, she quitted the newly born child, Karna. After that, when she actually selected her own husband, she preferred Pandu to be her husband. Maharaj Pandu later wanted to retire for family life and adopt the renounced order of life. Kunti refused to allow her husband to adopt such life. But at last, Maharaj Pandu gave her permission to become a mother of sons by calling some other suitable personalities. Kunti did not accept this proposal at first, but when vivid examples were set by Pandu, she agreed. Thus, by dint of the mantra awarded by Durvasa Muni, she called for Dharmaraj, and thus Yudhishthira was born. She called for the demigod Vayu, air, and thus Bhima was born. She called for Indra, the king of heaven, and thus Arjun was born. The other two sons, namely Nakula and Sahadeva, were begotten by Pandu himself in the womb of Madri. Later on, Maharaj Pandu died at an early age, for which Kunti was so aggrieved that she fainted. Two co-wives, namely Kunti and Madri, decided that Kunti should live for the maintenance of the five minor children, the Pandavas, and Madri should accept the sati rituals by meeting voluntarily death along with her husband. This agreement was endorsed by a great sage like Shatasringa and others present on the occasion. Later on, when the Pandavas were banished from the kingdom by the intrigues of Duryodhan, Kunti followed her sons, and she equally faced all sorts of difficulties during those days. During the forest life, one demon girl, Hidimba, wanted Bhima as her husband. Bhima refused, but when the girl approached Kunti and Yudhishthira, they ordered Bhima to accept her proposal and give her a son. As a result of this combination, Ghatotkacha was born and fought very valiantly with his father against the Kauravas. In their forest life, they lived with a Brahmana family that was in trouble because of one Bakasura demon, and Kunti ordered Bhima to kill the Bakasura to protect the Brahmana families against troubles created by the demon. She advised Yudhishthira to start for the Panchala Desh. Draupadi was gained in this Panchala Desh by Arjuna. But by the order of Kunti, all five of the Pandava brothers became equally the husband of Panchali or Draupadi. She was married with the five Pandavas in the presence of Vyasadeva. Kunti Devi never forgot her first child Karna, and after Karna's death in the battle of Kurukshetra, she lamented and admitted before her other sons that Karna was her eldest son prior to her marriage with Maharaj Pandu. Her prayers for the Lord after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Lord Krishna was going back home, are excellently explained. Later, she went to the forest with Gandhari for severe penance. She used to take meals after each 30 days. She finally sat down in profound meditation and later burned to ashes in a forest fire. So just starting with the storyline here. So Vidura has, we were hearing from Bhadra Prabhu day before yesterday, that Vidura was on pilgrimage while the battle went on, and then apparently for 25, 30 years, I was kind of surprised to hear that. It was for a long time that Vidura had gone on pilgrimage. Now he's finally back. So he kind of missed out on all the excitement there that went in the palace there, but that's what he wanted to do. And so now he's back. And so you can imagine everybody, they haven't seen Vidura. He was the benefactor of everybody. So everybody was so excited. And so Suta Goswami goes on like writing everybody's name who was there and so many people, and how everybody was so delighted they regained their consciousness, describes here. It's funny because I was reading in the Sanskrit to see what was written as far as regain their consciousness. So when I looked in there, it's interesting, these two verses, it's not a complete sentence even. It's the first sentence, first line of the stanza that says, once they saw Vidura, their relative, come in, then they said all these names, and that's it. The sentence is not, doesn't finish till actually the next sentence and the next stanza. So Srila Prabhupada very kindly finished it for us, just the sentence, that they regained their consciousness. And so here, Srila Prabhupada chooses to, as I mentioned earlier, chooses to give us a short biography of four ladies, Gandhari, Kunti, Draupadi, and Subhadra, I think. Yeah, so Nanda is going to cover Draupadi and Subhadra. So what I thought to do today, this morning, since we already have been given such a nice biography of these two great ladies, I thought that I would do a comparative study on these two, Gandhari and Kunti. So Gandhari and Kunti, they were, both were married to two brothers, we know. Yeah, they were sister-in-laws. Gandhari is married to Dhritarashtra and Kunti to Pandu. And both of them have well-known brothers. Gandhari's brother is Shakuni, yeah, well-known. And the Kunti's brother is? Who? Vasudev. And so he's also well-known. So they had, both of them had well-known brothers. Here we heard that Gandhari, she worshipped Lord Shiva. And proper described, Lord Shiva is generally worshipped by Hindu maidens to get a good husband. So Gandhari worshipped Lord Shiva and describes that he was satisfied. And Lord Shiva gave Gandhari Dhritarashtra. So, and she gave him, and he gave her 100 sons. Oh. And he was satisfied. And we also hear that Kunti, she didn't satisfy Durvasa Muni to get something, but she satisfied Durvasa by her service. And then he willingly gave Kunti benediction. And because of that benediction, she actually got 5 sons. She didn't get 100, but she got 5 sons, but we know the sons that she got. So maybe ladies should worship Durvasa. I don't know. Durvasa seems to be such an angry personality, but he seemed like he gave a good benediction. So because of his benediction, she got the 5 sons. Now, Gandhari, the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. Srila Prabhupada said, the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. She is ideal chaste lady. I mean, yeah. She blinded herself. She found that her husband was blind, so she said, okay, I don't want to be better than him. I'm going to follow in his footsteps, and she blinded herself. Ashwara Prabhupada compares her to Bhishma Dev in character. She describes her as an ascetic. Sutta Goswami mentions her as a tapasvini. So Gandhari was a great chaste lady. She blinded herself. She's compared to Bhishma Dev. Basically, if you really think about Gandhari's life, she doesn't, in many ways, she doesn't have any kind of blemishes in her life. You know, she had a pretty good, you know, in as far as her character and everything is concerned. Now, Kunti. She is not praised as a chaste lady. Not that she wasn't a chaste lady, but she's not praised as a chaste lady. As we just heard, she was young and she got a benediction and she was a little curious. And she called on the demigod. And she got pregnant. And she had a child. In today's terms, you would call her teenage pregnancy. Girls happen, you know, they get curious even nowadays. They may not have an intention to do this or that, but and they get pregnant. Although it's a whole different culture, and certainly the culture even during that time was very different than now, but the same things were there. Although it was not her fault, she was innocent, but that had to happen. And so luckily she was still remained a virgin, but she was concerned about having a child and what her parents are going to say. So she gave the child for adoption, so to speak, yeah? But not even, it's like leaving at somebody's doors. You know, you have a baby and you don't want your parents to know, and then you take the child and you just leave it, abandoned. So she abandoned her little child. So this is Kunti, very different than Gandhari. And then not only that, and actually when I was thinking about this class, she herself was adopted. So she was adopted and she gave her child for adoption. Anyway, and then if you look at her life later on, she, all her sons, the Pandavas, they were not Pandu sons in that sense. Pandu couldn't have sons. And so even when she did have sons, they were not from her husband. Later on even. And I've heard Radha Govinda Maharaj saying that that when Kunti Devi came back after Pandu passed away, when she came back to the palace, because now they had gone to the ashram there with Pandu left, now she has to come back home and for her shelter. So actually when she came back, there was talks going on about her being unchaste. And can you imagine, you come back, where you're going to get shelter and everybody's talking, the palace people are talking about her chastity. And so, yeah. And so at that time the sages were brought from the forest, and the sages confirmed that no, she's not an unchaste woman. This was under the instruction of Pandu. So this is Kunti, very different from Gandhari. Her life is very different. But it's interesting that we see, what we just heard about Gandhari and Kunti, and how Gandhari is a chaste lady and Kunti was with her life. It's amazing that Srimad Bhagavatam extols the qualities, the glories of Kunti Devi, and not necessarily of Gandhari. Not that Gandhari is in any way to be put down, no. She's an ascetic, she has all good qualities, but Bhagavatam glorifies Kunti. If you see here, we just read that Gandhari, she did blame Dhritarashtra for her loss. But do you remember who she wanted to curse? We just read, she wanted to curse Bhishma Dev and Yudhishthira. She did blame Dhritarashtra, but she wanted to curse them. And she only stopped because Vyasadeva stopped her from doing so. And then later on, we know that that Gandhari, so she didn't curse them, she stopped. But then later on, when she saw Krishna, she said to Krishna that you could have stopped. And it is because of you that this war happened. And so she curses him. So she curses him that how, just like my whole dynasty was destroyed, your dynasty is going to be destroyed as well, 36 years from now. And so Gandhari curses Krishna that way. Now if you look at Kunti, what does Kunti do? We don't hear Kunti blaming anybody. But not only that she doesn't blame anybody, what does she say to Krishna? She says to Krishna, that famous verse, Vipada santu tashashvat. Let there be calamities. Shashvat, again and again. That's what Kunti says. Let there be calamities. Why? Bhavad darshanam, because I'll see you again. If I want, the fact is I want to see you again and again, and so I don't mind calamities coming again and again. So she doesn't curse Krishna, but she says, bring it on. As long as I can see you, just bring it. I don't mind. I don't mind. All I want is, Dvayime Ananya Vishaya, I just want to see you. Let my thoughts go to you, just like the Ganges. Dvayime Ananya Vishaya Matir Madhupate Sakrit Ratim Udvahata Adabha Gange Vagham Udanvati. Let my thoughts go to you, Krishna. And that is why Kunti is glorified. Srimad Bhagavatam is an amazing book. Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very second verse, and we have to remember that. Every single time we have to remember in life that what is Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam is not some Vedic scripture extolling some Vedic rules and regulations. No. It says in the second verse, it says, Dharma Projita Kaitavo, giving up the cheating religions. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about. That's why we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a very revolutionary scripture. Who does Srimad Bhagavatam praises? Srimad Bhagavatam praises Vritasura, the demon. He praises Vritasura, whereas in the Upanishads, where this story is told, they glorify Indra. But Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies Vritasura, the demon. Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the gopis. They were unchaste to their husbands, but they were chaste to Krishna. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies the wives of the brahmanas, and not the brahmanas who were expert in the rituals. So Srimad Bhagavatam is not about following rules and regulations. Srimad Bhagavatam is about loving Krishna. And that's why we see that here, we hear about all this. That's why we see in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies Kunti Devi. So many verses about Kunti's prayers to Lord Krishna, and not about Gandhari. Glorification is not about Gandhari. Gandhari is a great lady. She's a chaste woman. She's an ascetic. She's all that. But Mother Kunti, she is a devotee. And I think it's important that in our own lives that we remember this, so that we don't become like, I guess, settled in our lives of a household life or something. I mean, our goal is not to become good grihasthas in the sense, our goal is not to become like Prabhupada, not to become a vegetarian. Our aim is not to become a vegetarian. Our aim is not to become non-violent. Our aim is not to become chaste women or whatever. Our aim is to love Krishna. Our aim is to serve Krishna and his devotees. Our aim is to serve Srila Prabhupada and his movement. And this movement is not a religious movement. I know I didn't join a religion. I didn't want to have anything to do with the religion when I was growing up. No. So when I came to Krishna consciousness, I came to Krishna consciousness because it was a revolutionary movement. It was something that we're going to take over, and we're still going to take over the world. It's by giving Krishna, not in some some Vedic way of morality and that kind of thing. No, everybody can become Krishna conscious. It does not make a difference what kind of background you had, whether you had a teenage pregnancy or whether you had, you know, whatever. And that doesn't restrict. We were just hearing a couple chapters ago about in Dwarka, and there were description about prostitutes that came to worship Krishna, to welcome him. Not that because they were living in Dwarka, now they became devotees. No, they were devotees, and they were prostitutes. They were chandals, and they were devotees. They did activities of chandals, and they were devotees. They acted as prostitutes, and they were devotees. So whatever it is, whatever background we have, we become devotees. We encourage others to become devotees, no matter what kind of gender they are, whether this gender or that gender or no gender or whatever it may be. We have to understand, we have to remember that our Krishna consciousness movement is about encouraging everybody to love Krishna and to give Krishna to others. And I think that's, I'd like to stop here, it's 4:09. If anybody has any questions on this subject.
I heard Gandhari sometimes is considered like a Mahajan.
Considered like a what?
On the list of the Mahajans. Yeah, like she's a hat or something. Or is that somebody else? There's a woman who was sometimes.
That's,
mentioned.
I think Lord Chaitanya's pastime is Mahajan.
Oh, so it was Gandhari. Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking how you were saying, our goal is not to be nonviolent, not to be vegetarian, not to, so many things, but Prabhupada says that just becoming a Vaishnava, automatically, all of that comes with it. So just by loving Krishna, all of those good qualities are developed. And we've seen that, even with ourselves, somehow, that
yes.
Happens.
Thank you, Sukadeva Prabhu, for bringing that point. Yes. By becoming devotees, all those qualities will follow. If you're actually sincerely following Krishna, then those qualities will follow. Just made me think about one time, I think it was in Fiji, that he did pass away, Vasudeva Prabhu, who was the first one coming to Krishna consciousness, and they had meat, maybe they were eating meat, or maybe they just have it in their store, and then devotees were saying to Prabhupada that, these people have like that, and Prabhupada said, don't worry, you don't have to say anything to them. It will automatically will stop eating meat, or stop selling it, or whatever it was, yeah. So, yeah, that
also
is true. Yes, please, go ahead, Sukhita.
I just want to ask a question also, cursing, it seems like, the Bhagavatam is full of this person cursing that woman. So many curses. And so I was wondering, how did that work, and how is it just that I curse you? Do you have to do a special mantra, or even today, how somebody, people get mad at each other and say, damn you or whatever. How those words actually took effect, and how maybe still take effect in a certain way. I'm just curious as to whatever.
I'm not too sure exactly how they took effect. The only way I've always thought is that because these people were so powerful, so whatever word that was spoken would come true. Just like the, even not even a curse, but for example, when Kunti called the sun god, and because that benediction was given, so she called the sun god, and then she said, okay, I've seen you, okay, now you can go. I was just curious. But he said, no, you have called me, and so it has to act. So I think it was just, it seems like just the power of the strength of these people that what was spoken had to come, would come true. And as far as today, I think, although we're not powerful, so, but yet, I think it does make a difference, because Krishna is within our heart, Krishna is in everyone's heart, and maybe that's how it took place even then, where Krishna is within the heart, and he brings that upon the other person. But I think if a person is very serious and sincere and giving expression of some good a benediction or something, then Krishna executes it. Or if you're angry and you say something really bad, maybe it may not happen depending on your consciousness. Maybe it might happen to you directly rather than to the other person.
Yeah, sometimes it would come back.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So sometimes if you're saying something like that, you think, okay, I can curse this person, I'm powerful. It might come back to you, which it does. Just reminds me of Holika. Holika had a benediction that whoever sat on her lap or whatever, that they would get burnt. But then that was, whose sister was she? She was Hiranyakashipu's. And so, but what happened? She had that benediction, but because she used it not in the right way, then she herself got burnt and Prahlad was saved. And so, yeah, so I think Krishna's always in control. Yes, you have some, yes, Sukhada? Sorry, Sridevi.
Thank you, Madhavati Prabhu. I was wondering like where the line is between if somebody has like, you know, fallen habits and they take to Krishna consciousness and they start chanting, and yes, of course, the holy name will help them to overcome negative habits, but I feel like there also has to be like some personal endeavor or effort to eliminate those habits and not just be like, yeah, I'm good, I'm chanting, and everything will just take care of itself. Like, what do you think is like the line?
That's an important point that you bring up, Sridevi. Yes, if we are thinking that, oh, I'm chanting, it's all fine, then maybe you're not chanting properly. Because if you're actually seriously properly chanting, then the result would be that, oh, I need to work on these things. And sometimes you may be sincerely chanting and sincerely trying to work on your bad habits, and sometimes they don't go away. And then you just kind of call out to Krishna that somehow the Krishna, I'm not unable to do it, and I surrender unto you, but somehow I'm not able to give up this addiction, whatever it may be. And you tolerate it, but never giving up the desire to give it up, or at least the main thing is never to give up your call out to Krishna. So that's the most important thing. Yes, Sridhar Muni Prabhu. Oh, about Gandhari being a Mahajan.
Here it is. This is what perhaps this is what I was thinking. It's 1948. She's talking about the aesthetic. This is the aesthetic verse. And Prabhupada in the purport, therefore in her action she was a great aesthetic. I think that's how you pronounce it. Besides that, and then she talks about the sons. Besides that, she suffered because of the wholesale killing of her 100 sons and her grandsons. Also, it was certainly too much for a woman. But she suffered all this like an aesthetic.
Like an aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the comparison between Draupadi and Gandhara is valid, but Draupadi didn't lose her sons. Gandhara, she lost all of them. You know, so that's got to hit somewhere in the heart. But then Prabhupada says, Gandhari, although a woman, was no less than Bhisma Dev in character, and Bhisma
yeah.
Dev in Mahajan. So they are both remarkable personalities in Mahabharata. So that's kind of serious. But the question I had was, since Gandhari cursed Krishna, and apparently she's no less than Bhisma Dev in Mahajan. So if a Mahajan curses Krishna, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, look at that. Look at Bhisma Dev. Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. If you look at all the Mahajans, Bhishma Dev fought against Krishna's side, yeah? And you see that. You see all these great Vaishnavas, or we're talking about Vrtasura, yeah? So yeah, these great Mahajans, even Lord Shiva is a Mahajan, yeah? He also fought against Krishna, so that's all there. That's all there, Sridhi Muni Prabhu. What do you have to say? It's okay, it's okay. It's totally fine if you're actually, I mean, these are great souls, yeah. They're great Mahajans, they're great souls, they're Mahajans, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, Gandhari, she's not considered as a Mahajan, but she is a Mahajan. I mean, she is a very, in the sense of Mahajan, that she is a great soul. Gandhari is a great soul. And that's what's amazing, and that's the point I was expressing, that she is a great soul, and Kunti's life is the way it is, but she is, Srimad Bhagavatam says she's a really great soul.
I'm trying to remember my name, but so Gandhari expressed her exasperation to Krishna, you know, in probably contemporary language. Uh-huh. How did Krishna respond?
He pacified her.
He didn't take it like, whoa. You know?
No, she was pacified.
Yeah.
It says Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she knew the position of Krishna, not that she didn't. She knew the position of Krishna.
Yeah, imagine she got over.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just something she had to get out.
And these are all pastimes of the Lord, so. Okay. Yes, Pandu in the room.
Life can be very tough, but still, I could be in a disaster situation. Still, I have a free will to redirect my emotion towards Krishna. I don't see Dhritarashtra's life that he ever actually wanted to be Krishna conscious or turn towards Krishna. So I don't want to, who am I to judge, but still, he had so much opportunity. He heard the whole Bhagavad Gita. Sanjay exhibited ecstasy. End of 18th chapter, it says Sanjay was experiencing this ecstasy of hearing Krishna's voice by the mercy of his guru. Dhritarashtra heard the same thing, but nothing happened. It appears. I don't know what happened inside the heart. Obviously, Prabhupada also writes that Vidura felt bad that his brother did not become pure devotee. So my question is, how come Gandhari never corrected her husband or gave us some threatening? Is that a chastity means like a support everything husband does? Like a wrong, okay, my husband is doing wrong, I'll support. Is that a chastity? I'm just not sure.
My understanding is, and Prabhupada luckily does say one sentence here, that she blamed her husband for that. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I can just say from the movie that I've watched on Mahabharata, it shows that how she continuously tried to tell Dhritarashtra not to do so. And Prabhupada even writes here that she asked that could you just divide the kingdom into two? Why don't you do that? So it seems like she was telling Dhritarashtra, being chaste does not mean that not to say anything and just go along and being blind like Dhritarashtra. My understanding is that Gandhari wasn't blind like Dhritarashtra. She was telling him, but Dhritarashtra was blind and he was overcome by too much attachment. And since he couldn't be the king, he wanted his sons to be the king. So yeah, my understanding is not that she was blind. No, she apparently did tell.
But if I compare to Vidura versus Gandhari, both were very close to Dhritarashtra. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a strong bond between Vidura and Dhritarashtra also, never left. But Vidura did a perfect job. And eventually he left because he doesn't see that it works, nothing. And even Viraragavacharya, one of the commentators, says the reason Vidura did not participate in the war because he still have a compassion for his brother. He said, maybe there is a chance, because if I participate on the other side with the Pandavas, obviously Vidura will join with the Pandavas, and then it will be like a conflict interest. But he is exhibiting his compassion, so he withdraws. And it's glorified by the Acharya. But I don't see anything Gandhari really substantially did. I'm not blaming her, but I'm just trying to understand how is that.
She's the wife. What man really listens to his wife? So this is his wife, you know. And so even though she might have told him this and that, but, you know, yeah, husbands don't want to listen to the wife, you know, nagging him, you know. And the thing is that Dhritarashtra was, he was, even just his name, he was so attached to the throne. It's like it was a real, not just a little bit, but yes, it was everything. And so what could a wife do? It's only after he lost everything. Vidura told him even before. Vidura was telling him before. But after he lost everything, then he realized. What do you do after you lose everything? Then you can become detached, so to speak, yeah? I mean, even then, he stayed there for so many years till Vidura came back, you know, so, yeah.
There's a message from that.
So, yeah, I wouldn't say that Gandhari didn't say anything, no.
There's some online questions.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhari was envious of Kunti giving birth before her and hid her womb to force her embryo out prematurely. Durvasa Muni is an expansion of Lord Shiva. Can you please say in class? Oh, I guess that's a question.
Is that a question?
I guess just
comment. Could you please say what?
Gandhari was envious of Kunti giving birth before her and hid her womb to force her embryo out prematurely. Durvasa Muni is an expansion of Lord Shiva.
Yeah, that reminded me.
Yeah.
Actually, when this happened, that she heard the news that Kunti just had a child, Yudhishthira just, some or other message came, I don't know how. She told the midwife, I remember reading that by force to come out. And when she was pressuring this lump of meat or whatever you say to come out, there was a horrible scenery. The blood was pouring from the sky. So she had all this opportunity that this is inauspicious, let's burn the lump of meat instead of cutting into 100 pieces.
Yeah, Vyasadeva was told, but the Dhritarashtra or Gandhari, they didn't want to hear. So what was meant to happen, happened. But yeah, they were told. There was just so much attachment. It's just like attachment just ruins everything. So, yeah.
But there's a difference between attachment and affection, no? You have an affection for the children,
yeah, affection
for Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, attachment.
But attachment is like a blindness.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. They had attachment. It was just a very strong attachment. They were told not to. I think Vidura even told them. Vyasadeva, I think, told them. Vidura told them to give up this son. But they didn't want to hear. Hare Krishna. We are sometimes in that position too. We're told sometimes and we don't want to hear. So that's our lives. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
There was one more question. I don't know if you have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam glorifies great personalities like Gandhari, where in other places he says even a very qualified person, if he is a non-devotee, his whole life is useless.
Yeah. Thank you, appreciate that comment. It's a comment, yeah?
Yeah, it says that Bhagavatam glorifies great personalities. You know, sometimes it also says very qualified person. Is that a contradiction?
No, that's not a contradiction. I mean, I mean, you have to, like, for example, again, Gandhari, she's a great ascetic. She's, her character as good as Bhishma Dev. So they are glorified. They're glorified. Everybody is glorified according to their qualifications they have.
A comment. In modern times, we could say that it would have been better for Gandhari to have been the eyes of her husband instead of being blindfolded.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. In the 21st century, I wouldn't want to, I would think that I would better serve my husband if I have eyes and I can, you know. I would agree, yeah. So 21st century, I think, yeah, we're different women, you know. Hare Krishna. I mean, we just had, on Sunday, we had a little gathering of online by Vaishnava Ministry. And so each one was, four ladies were there, and four of us were asked to express somebody that we really liked or we see them as our heroine. So I mentioned Draupadi, somebody mentioned Kunti, one mentioned Devahuti, another mentioned Pingala. I wonder how many women would mention Gandhari. I would wonder, actually. How many us as devotees, women, would mention Gandhari? You know, Gandhari is not somebody that... Hare Krishna.
Also, she's not in one of those Panchapanna.
Yeah, she's not in one.
She's not one of those.
Yeah.
So why is she famous and still not
famous? I think she's famous mainly because she blinded herself because her husband was blind. I think that's like a... If you think about it, that's a big austerity she performed. That's a very big austerity. And because of that austerity she performed, she had power, she had teja because of that. And again, but we as Vaishnavas, we're not into getting, you know, we're not into becoming ascetics or becoming learned or becoming, you know, we're just not, that's not our aim, that's not our goal. That's why I was saying, our goal is not to become chaste ladies. That's not our goal is to become devotee. That's our main, and all, everything else comes. Yes, Didi Muni Prabhu. It's out of time now. It's not, and
in the first place, she was trying to become ascetic. That was just her natural character. I mean, you know, here she was performing ascetic. She had to be a main blend. That's an expression of her character. But she wasn't like only blind, so only great ascetic.
No, she wanted to become a chaste woman.
She wanted to have do the family thing.
Yeah. I mean, we shouldn't have it. You're right, Siddhi Dimurim Prabhu. You're actually right. We shouldn't have any problem with...
I mean, she dyed her hair purple and got tattoos. You could say she was kick-ass, but she's my friend. But she wants to wear blindfold, that's a problem.
Yeah, no, that... We go through extremes, you know. They're just extremes.
People are just the same. They're still judgmental.
Krishna. Haribol. We'll end with that.